Well, I want to quickly take you through Jonah chapter 2. Do you remember what happened in Jonah chapter 1? God said, go. Jonah said, no. God said, go. Jonah said, no. So God had a plan. God said, okay. So he was getting on a boat going to Tarshish, and there's always going to be a boat to take you where you don't need to go, right? There's always going to be a boat ready for you, right? Easy to get on that boat. He gets on a boat, starts sailing. Phase one, God sends a storm. So they're like, what do I do? You know? So the boat guys say, we need to pray to our gods. And they find Jonah asleep. Hey, sleeper, wake up. Pray to your God. And maybe he'll do something. And so they finally cast lots. They realize it's Jonah's fault. Jonah says, okay, it's my fault. I'm running from God. Throw me in the ocean, it'll stop. So phase two, they don't throw him in the ocean. They're like, we're not going to do that because, man, if this guy is God's guy, we ain't going to do it. And the storm is still bad. Boo, they're afraid for their lives. They've already got rid of all of their goods and everything. So finally they throw him over. So God sends a big fish. And the fish comes and swallows Jonah. That's where we're going to pick it up. But then it ends where God is going to continue to be working. The fish is going to get a stomach ache and is going to vomit him out on the land. So let's see what happens. I want to just take you quickly through here. Dig in. I'm in Jonah chapter 2. And in my Bible, I'm on page 1084. So if you'll just turn there with me. All right. Verse 1. I called out to the Lord out of my distress. I called out to the Lord out of my distress, and he answered me out of the belly of Sheol. I cried, and he heard my voice. A couple words I want you to understand there. Distress is sarah, T-S-A-R-A-H. It's a sarah, okay? And it means literally the pain and the struggle of childbirth. So out of the most excruciating pain I can imagine, that you can imagine, out of this total distress, I cried out to God. And it says here, it says, out of the belly of Sheol. Sheol is translated in the Old King James as hell. Out of hell, I cried out. Actually, the word means more like the grave, the place of the dead. In other words, I cried out from the farthest place I was from God. I cried out to God, and he heard me. And some of you need to hear that today because you are going through your own Sheol in your life. And you need to hear that when you call out to God, God hears you. Jonah's at the point where he is the farthest away, but God is actively working. All through this miracle, all through this thing, we see different places where God is working. I love where it says, out of the belly you heard my voice. Going on, for you cast me into the deep, into the heart of the seas, and the flood surrounded me. All your waves and your billows passed over me. Then I said, I am driven away from your sight, yet again I shall look upon your holy temple. The waters closed in over me and take my life, and the deep surrounded me. Weeds were wrapped about my head as the roots of the mountain. I went down, down to the land whose bars closed upon me forever. Yet you brought me up, my life from the pit, O Lord my God. A couple things in there I want us to see. And we need to understand this. God is always working. I love what when Tolek said, did you catch this? When he said, even in war, God is using it for good. In all of these situations, God is using it for his purpose. Listen to this. That's what we call a yet God moment. He says, then I'm driven away from your sight, but yet again, but God came, but God heard me, yet God, yet God. I am going through Sheol in my marriage. I don't know what's going to happen, yet God is still working. I am going through Sheol with my children at home and their attitudes and everything going on in their lives, yet God has a plan for that. I'm going through Sheol when the doctor tells me there is no hope or that there's this bad stuff going on inside my body, yet God is still at work. Do you believe that? Do you believe that? Because that is the God we serve. In other words, there's no physical hope for me, is what he's saying. If we were writing the Bible today, here's what he'd say. Jonah's saying, I did not pass go. I did not collect $200. The game is over. But yet he says this, and if you read that part and you listen to it, he says, I was going down, 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 deeper. And what happens in our sin? We get down, 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 deeper, deeper, deeper. Yet, God, yet you brought me up my life from the pit, O Lord my God. Some of you right now, you think your life is spiraling out of control, but yet God is still working. He goes on to say this now in verse 7. When my life was fading away, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer came to you into your holy temple. It's a shame that sometimes we reach a point where we can't even do anything on our own, and then we cry out to God. We reach a point where we say, like, oh gosh, I don't know what I'm going to do. I don't know what I'm going to do. And so we cry out to God. God becomes our last resort. And that must break the heart of our Father, who wants to bless us, who wants to take care of us, who wants us to be in fellowship with Him. And yet we just don't need Him until we need Him. Goes on in verse 8, and this is one I want you to underline in your Bibles. Those who pay regard to vain idols forsake the hope of steadfast love. That steadfast love is hesed. Hesed. It means grace. It's unmerited love. It's loving kindness. It is that pursuing love of God that even when we are far from Him, He continues to seek after us. It is a covenant love. In the NIV is how I learned it. Those who cling to worthless idols forfeit the grace that could be theirs. What are the idols in our lives? I'll tell you what Jonah's was. The first thing, he was prejudiced. God tells him to go to Nineveh, the worst people imaginable. He said, I ain't going to them people. I don't like them people. I hope they get what they get. I'm prejudiced. I think another idol that Jonah had was self. I'm more about self-preservation, you know, because I don't know what those Ninevites are going to do to me. What are the idols in your life? What are the worthless idols that we are clinging to, whether it's our image, our finances, our position? What is it? I don't know what it is for you. Materialism. Some of us, we even get excited about the adrenaline of different situations. Do you know some people in your life, they're not happy unless there's a storm? And they seem to thrive when there's a storm. And if there's not one, they'll cause one. You know what I'm talking about? Those are idols. And those who cling to these worthless idols, you forfeit the grace, the hesed, the covenant love that could be yours through God Almighty. And then he goes on to this. But I, verse 9, but I with the voice of thanksgiving will sacrifice to you what I have vowed I will pay, for salvation belongs to the Lord. He says, remember this, at the point where he could do nothing, the point where he was totally helpless. I mean, he's in the belly of a fish, for goodness sake. And he's down there. There's nothing he can do on his own merit. There's nothing he can say. There's nothing he could do. There's no action that could be performed. He can't do any penance. He can't light a fire and say, hey, I want to sacrifice to you. He is totally dependent on God Almighty. And this is what he says. Salvation belongs to the Lord. The New Testament says this, for it is by grace that you are saved. And grace comes from God. It's never by your own works. So you can't brag about it. Look what I did. Look who I am. Look at all these people that I got together. It is the gift of God through Jesus Christ. Salvation comes from Him and Him alone. So what are you going to do with that? If you look at your life and you feel like you are in Sheol, if you are in the pit or if you are down, it is time to quit clinging to those worthless idols and give it to God. and let Him work in your life. Short and sweet. Is that okay? Verse 8, those who cling to worthless idols forfeit the grace that could be theirs. Quit clinging to things that don't matter. Let them go. Open up your hands. Let them go. Let's pray. Father, as we come into your presence, we just want you to intercede on the behalf of the needs that are represented here in our church. Father, we remind ourselves of all the things that all things are possible with you. And I pray for those that are in the depths of Sheol now, Father, that as they look up to you, that you would be enough in their life. Father, I pray for immediate deliverance. But we recognize, Father, that sometimes you work in steps. Sometimes there's that storm, and then there's the deliverance, and then there's that isolation. But help us to see that there are but yet God moments where we would recognize your works, the small miracles, the big miracles, that we would recognize your hand. Father, I pray that you would intervene in the lives of those of us that love you and know you. And when you do, Father, I pray that we would be the people that would stand up and praise and thank you. And Father, like Tolek told us, that we would be people that would stand up and tell everyone because of you. Father, thank you for that throne of grace and the opportunity we have as your people to come into your presence. And Father, we pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.